Welcome to Leaving the Classroom. This is a podcast for teachers who are ready to transition out of the classroom and into a new career. Each week, I'll share stories about what I've learned moving from education to the corporate world. I'll answer the most common questions and share my best tips to help you get started. If you are considering leaving the classroom, this show is for you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Leaving the Classroom. I'm Christy Oliva, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I'm talking to Molly Schlosser, a former teacher. Welcome, Molly.
Hi there.
Hi, nice to meet you and see you. And thanks for being on the podcast. I'm really excited to talk to you about how you got out of the classroom and just what your experience is like. So why don't we start there? You can tell me about your education background and what made you want to leave the classroom and then how you ended up getting out of the classroom.
All right. I was a teacher for about 7 years continuously. I started off teaching after college and then stayed home with my own children for several years and then re-entered the workforce teaching third grade. I also was a reading interventionist at a Title I school and then returned to the classroom. Job shortages, it's difficult to get specialist positions, especially when it comes down to things like Title I funding. So I went back into the classroom and that was in 2020, in August of 2020, so mid-COVID. And that was really a very, very interesting time to be going back into the classroom. We, you know, had one of those hybrid AB schedules. But my reason for, you know, returning to the classroom from being a specialist was because my own children were in a different school district from the school district that I was employed in. And if you were teaching in the same district as your children, then your own children could attend school every day. And they had, you know, a group of teachers' children that would hang out in the library and they would do their remote work on site. Which was, I mean, that was a huge incentive for me to switch districts, but that led to me having to go back in the classroom. So I did that job. I was back in third grade again. That's like my niche grade. I just love third graders. And the first 2 years I was back in the classroom, I was like, you know, kind of getting my wheels turning again. And but I pretty quickly kind of realized, like, hey, you wanted to leave the classroom before for a reason. You know, I'd pursued that resource position and I'd really enjoyed a lot of the administrative tasks that I was able to do and how I was able to support more school-wide, because I really like problem solving and troubleshooting. And so not having my own, you know, base classroom let me help a lot more people. So I started actively job hunting to just completely leave the school system altogether in the summer of 2022. And I actually made it known to my boss at the beginning of the school year what my intentions were, you know, because I'd started applying over the summer and nothing had come through yet. And I knew it had the potential to kind of be a long haul. But if something came through, I had every intention of taking it and leaving, you know, whether that was mid-year or whenever. And I really, really value transparency. And so I sat down with her at the beginning of the year and said, hey, just, this is my intention. This is what I'm doing. You'll get the 30 days notice that's required by the contract. But just know that this is something I'm pursuing. She was actually really wonderful about it. Most leaders I have found really appreciate transparency. The last thing they want is to be blindsided, you know? And so she knew that this was something that might happen during the school year. And so she could kind of in the back of her mind have a plan in place for if a teacher left mid-year at this grade level, how would they shift? What would they end up doing? So I spent it was a solid 7 months of applying and interviewing before I actually left the school. And it was crickets, absolute crickets for months and months and months. I got zero traction on any applications. Just kind of was like, am I yelling into space? Like, where is this going? Nobody is responding. And I think a lot of that had to do with the market was difficult. There were a ton of layoffs last year. So the competition was really stiff last year, just as much as it is this year. And then also kind of needing more of a corporate eye to take a look at my resume and help me structure that and focus on, there's a lot of little details that go into crafting a resume that is readable for someone in the talent acquisition arena. And so once I kind of started making some real adjustments to the way that looked, then I started to get some more feedback from different companies. I ended up with a company called Begin working in their tutoring department, KidPass Tutors. This is an ed tech startup, and my job title was educational consultant. And so that role was part sales and part the consultation, the conversation with the parents themselves. So this was something that families would reach out to us looking for tutoring for their child. And it was one-on-one customized tutoring, you know, done online. And so my part in that would be to have a conversation with the parent and discuss their needs and trouble spots for their child, and then talk to them about how the one-on-one tutoring could positively impact their child's education. It was kind of like a little bit of both, you know, the trying to make sure that we got the sale. Obviously, we want them to sign up. So it was a large part of it was sales. I had a commission structure and, you know, had goals to meet each month. And that was a whole new thing, like coming from just having been salary as a teacher. But it was proportioned such that it wasn't, you know, an overwhelming feeling of pressure, you know, because there's a salary component and then there's the remainder, that's the commission structure. And that I actually ended up enjoying that. At first I was kind of like, oh, what if something like, what if I suck at this? What if this does not go well? But it actually turned out to feel very natural because I believe in education and I believed that we could help, you know, these families and who are reaching out, you know, the parents that we're talking to are people that want to help their child, you know, so I wasn't trying to force something down their throat that they didn't need or want. We only called warm leads, which to me made a big difference. There was not just random cold calling of just any number that we could get a hold of. And so I actually really enjoyed it. I liked being on the phone and talking to these parents and listening to them as kind of like the parent teacher conference, but without having the folder in front of you about the kiddo, you're relying on what the parents tell you to fill you in. And then you have to figure out, okay, here's what you need, X, Y, Z on the fly. And I really like that. I really like coming up with solutions to problems and a variety of solutions. And so I found it really enjoyable. So that's what I did last year.
Yeah. So tell us what's going on now. I know that you've got a different mindset these days.
Yeah. So that was a whirlwind. It was really exciting, like to land this job and finish up it actually. And it worked out really amazingly because when I got the offer, it was right at the end of the semester, first semester for school. And I had enough leave, like a leave balance with the district that I actually, they just dissolved my classroom and spread the kids into the other third grade classrooms because our numbers were not so high. And they literally were like, hey, let's just clean slate, end of the semester. So my class just instantly dissolved. And they were like, you can just take your leave. You're just done and you can go start. It was just this crazy stars aligning thing for me last winter. And it could not have gone more smoothly, honestly. So I worked there through, I started the end of February through this November. And I mentioned it was a startup. And so they decided to phase out the tutoring branch of the company. The company itself is still standing, but the online tutoring division is going away. And so me along with the rest of the team, we were laid off before Thanksgiving. And that was a whole new reality from having such job security with teaching. It like I knew abstractly that it's a possibility that you can get laid off, you know, that things just, but as a teacher, you have to just totally egregiously drop the ball for something like that to happen. Right. And so it was kind of like laughably in shock when it happened. Like it didn't sink in for a few days. Like, oh no, really? Like you just got this job this year and now this job is gone. What are you going to do? And so got right back to revise the resume and remember the practical skills. I've learned a lot on LinkedIn. That's been my go-to but finding high quality people to listen to and get tips from. So there are, you know, just a couple of people that I continuously go to when I need feedback. And so tweaked my resume again and made sure to put, you know, really good measurable data in my resume. And and just started applying. And as of today, it's been about a month and a half. It was right before Thanksgiving. So it's been a month and a half, almost 2 months now. And I have applied to probably over 100 for sure jobs. And I'm getting significantly more traction this time around. A number of interviews and even some second rounds. And, you know, I credit that to having exited the classroom and having gotten into the market and now having this business and sales experience. And so, you know, at first I was like, just so excited. Oh my gosh, this is going to be so much easier this time. And it's like, no, you made it to the next step. And you get that part, but there's still so much competition. All of these other people who have been doing this for XYZ number of years longer than you that still want the same jobs. And so that's where I'm sitting now, is just keep hammering away at it. And it's a quantity thing, you know, when it comes to applying, make sure you're targeting the right jobs and then as many of them as you can find. So I spend several hours every single day looking for jobs, updating the cover letter for every single one that I apply to, updating the resume for every single one. And it's my job right now.
Yeah. So yeah. What kind of roles are you searching for? Are you looking for similar roles? What niche have you found that you think that you want to move into and stay in the corporate world?
Yeah. Ideally, I'm trying to step now from being that first line of sales into more of a customer success role or account management. So handling the existing customers and then trying to ensure that they renew. I think that would be a good bridge for me of my ability to, you know, communicate with people and then a little bit of the sales work that I did already, but slightly more stable, kind of. I'm not sure if that's the right way to express that, but
yeah.
That's what I want to transition into next. I think that'll give me exposure to a few more aspects of the business. I think long term, I want to move towards something in like the business development realm. But I'm like the baby deer, you know, in the business world right now. It's just still learning about all of the nuts and bolts. And I think that there's really just no substitute for experience for a lot of that stuff. It can be intuitive for some people, but you still have to get the jobs and do the work to get up the chain.
So I bet you a lot of people are going to be wondering this, and I'm wondering it myself, is first of all, have you considered going back to teaching? And does this decision, like what happened, did that make you regret leaving teaching?
It does not make me regret it at all. Yes, it's hard, but I was so, so depleted going from getting up in the morning, and I have children, and so feeling like just shot out of a cannon first thing in the morning. It's dark out, it's pitch black. Elementary schools here in North Carolina, students walk in the building at 7:30 a.m.
Oh my!
So goodness. Teachers have to be on site before 7. Yeah. And so it was just like all systems go. Crack of dawn, get my own kids out the house, get to school. And then, you know, the life of an elementary school teacher, you don't get breaks. We didn't have coverage for recess. We didn't have coverage for lunch. The only break we had was when the kids would go to art or PE or music. And even then it's planning time. It's not actually a break. And so the entire day was just this frantic pace running from one end of the building to the other. And if you're lucky, there are not as many fires to put out that day. So you can actually try to get ahead and be ready for the next day or the next week or whatever that might be. And so I felt like I was just, my heart was racing all day long. And I couldn't even do the job as well as I wanted to do the job, because it was, like I said, we were just always running. And then I would come home. And as any human, you need that time to decompress. You need some quiet. But now I come home and I have my own kids, and you have to immediately try to shift into, okay, what needs to be, how do I meet the needs of my family here at home? And I was so drained, just overwhelmed and overstimulated from not having a single minute to myself the whole day. So no, I don't regret it at all, because the shift in me, I'm a better parent for my own children, having more balance in my life now. And I'm so grateful for that. And as difficult and frustrating as this is, I have a really supportive family, and they have really stepped up in this last 2 months. Because, you know, job searching while you're still working is one thing. Job searching when you're unemployed is a whole another ballgame. And so they have really helped me not get too stressed about it. To your point about, have I thought about re-entering teaching? Thought about it for like this long. I actually went and met with my last boss at the elementary school, who was like, he was my favorite boss of all time. He was one of those leaders that actually makes you better at your job. They give you really valuable feedback, really constructive feedback that is timely. And I really value his opinion. So I actually went to talk to him, and he was like, yeah, you know, we do have a position for you as a reading interventionist. If you want to do it, we can do it. You know, but he looked me in the face and he said, but it doesn't really seem to align with what you want. And I just was like, it's not what I want. It's not at all. I don't want to be sitting right here having this conversation with you at all. But, you know, I have kids to take care of. I have a house. There's real life. But he kind of looked at me and said, stay the course then. What you want is what you had. Then stay the course. If it's still, you know, a couple months down the road, things are not looking great. This would be a unique thing. He was like, you know, swing by, maybe we'll be able to pull some contract work for you, but stay the course, hang in there. Yeah, it sucks, you know. And then he talks about his brother-in-law who seems to be continually unemployed because he always works for various tech things and is constantly getting laid off. And, you know, it's just the norm. And so it really helped me to have someone tell me, like, it's okay that you're in this place. It's a hard place to be, and it's okay to be there. Just keep going. Go through it. Don't try to go around it. Just go through it. And so that really helped, because I was questioning, gosh, do I just need to put aside what I want and get a job and just get back and do this? But I appreciated his insight on that. And it kind of makes me think of, like, you know, so in dating or whatever, don't get back together with your ex, right?
You left there's for a reason. Yeah.
There's a reason that it's
not going to change.
Exactly. Don't go back. That's not healthy. You keep looking for what you want in life. This is, you've got one life. You've got one shot to get these things. And so fight for what you want and make your life the one that you want to be living. I have felt very optimistic, and I had very realistic expectations going into the job search this time, knowing that how long it might possibly take and just how much work it will be to actually get a job.
I mean, the good news is you already have some experience under your belt. I think that puts you, unfortunately for the other transitioning teachers, it does put you ahead of the game in that way. I remember when I first transitioned out, I got my first job. And after that, the job market was a little bit different, but I got more recruiter interest in general, just because I had stepped outside of the classroom and it was like they could just smell it, you know?
Yeah.
Now, normally I ask transitioned teachers what three skills any teacher has that would transfer, but I'm going to give you an opportunity here to sell yourself. So tell us about your best teacher skills that have just been proven to transition so seamlessly outside of the classroom.
Okay. Absolutely. The number one thing is the ability for a teacher to think on their feet. You don't have time to process what's happening all around you. It's just, hey, what's right in front of my face? This is an immediate need. I can handle this using whatever tools are at my disposal as well. You know, we're extremely resourceful people. And I think that we know how to get something done. We know how to get it done quickly. I many, many, many times found myself sitting with not enough work to do because I would do things so quickly. We were so used to being given something to work on and just putting all our brain power to it as hard as we could for a short period of time and just getting it done, right? Because you don't know when the next fire is going to get lit. And, you know, I had coworkers having to say, hey, pace yourself, slow down, it's okay. Like, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fast paced nature of, you know, being on the phone and talking to families but having to think quickly in the moment to how to address their issues. I think those are probably the number one things that just, you can't have that kind of a response system unless you've had to practice it. You've been in an environment that has required that as a survival skill. And so it's definitely one of my greatest strengths at this point. I'm like eerily calm when things get crazy. I'm just like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And it gets done.
I think those are really good ones. And I love that you brought up, you know, being able to just tackle problems. I've encountered the same thing at companies where they're like, oh my gosh, Christy, you like work so fast. Like, how'd you get that done so fast? And I'm like, how did you like, why are you taking so long? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's just constant. And like, I remember I've complained about how teachers have to work so much and I still bring this up. And yet I carry this into my new life. But the difference is I don't have the stress behind it. Like I still work crazy hours, but it's only because I choose to, and because right. I'm working on things that I have a passion for, like leaving the classroom. And so it's funny that that is something that I thought everybody had. Like, I thought it was either you had it or you didn't. And really, teachers carry this into their new jobs. And so I wish employers knew that more, because when you hire a teacher, you are hiring one of the most efficient, hardworking people that you will ever hire to your company.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've gotten comments on multiple times at all three companies I've worked for since being a teacher, that that's what they see. And it's what's made me a really good program manager, is that I'm really good at seeing through the crap and finding what's important, filling out the efficiencies for those, building processes so that I can just set it aside. Because that's what we have to do as teachers. We can't keep doing the same thing over and over. So we're like, okay, how can I build a process for that? You're a project manager already as a teacher.
Yeah.
And I think that's so fun to see teachers be successful in these roles and be so successful. Like, it's crazy because we have such transferable skills.
Yeah, the project manager, program manager field, it interests me. It's so competitive. And so that's, you know, another one of the like, oh, I could go this way or this way, but first let's start at the foundational levels of business and learn how these companies work. What's at the bottom? I think that's such an essential thing in any organization. Some of the best people that I've worked with in the schools are the people who started out as a sub and then they were a TA and then they were a teacher and then they were an interventionist. And then, you know, maybe they're an admin because they understand how it all works and they know just how hard everyone is working.
And then I'm sure you've had the opposite, an admin that's never been a teacher. And that's been one of my worst experiences, was working for an admin that was never a teacher.
Yeah, it can go both ways. You know, in the right hands, if they are empathetic enough and they have a good business mind, they can turn that school into a dynasty.
True. If they can trust the teachers also, I think that's huge.
They have to inspire those teachers to follow them though. Mm. And that's rare. That's a rare gift. In general, the teacher who tries, or the administrator who tries to run the school like a business without understanding their teachers, it's a sinking ship.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, what's the best way to get in touch with you if somebody hears this and says, hey, I've got a role like that, or I can reach out, I've got connections? How can they reach you?
I'm on LinkedIn, Molly Schlosser. Email is perfect.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Molly. It's nice to meet you. And I'm definitely going to be looking at your journey and following along and seeing what you're up to next.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation.
No problem. Do you want to leave the classroom, but you're not sure where to start? You can take the free Leaving the Classroom career quiz at idlecourses.com/leaving the classroom. It's time to take control and make the career change that will change your life. It changed mine. See you next time.
That's all for this episode, but you can find more at idlecourses.com or subscribe to the podcast. And if you are ready to leave the classroom, use my code CLASSROOM100 and get $100 off enrollment to Idle Courses Academy.